broadcasting from the Kill Radio Newsroom in Los Angeles. Here is DJ Shy John with the weekly news from around the world.
And thank you, Brad and Modesto. This is Shy John, and today is Tuesday, January the 28th, 2014. And at the top of the news in the Harper's Weekly Review, the British law firm Carter Ruck released 10 images from a trove of 55,000 photographs, most of them smuggled out of the country by a Syrian military police photographer, that purportedly show the dead bodies of more than 11,000 Syrians killed while in government custody. 10 images. In an accompanying report that was funded by the government of Qatar, a team of international legal and forensic experts asserted that the photographic evidence would support war crimes findings against the regime of Bashar al-Assad. It is very rare, said David Crane, the human rights lawyer who indicted Charles Taylor, to have this kind of government-backed, industrial, machine-like, systematic torture and killing. Syria's Justice Ministry refuted the authenticity of the photographs. Any expert could easily find out that these pictures are fake, said the ministry. They have no relation to prisoners or detainees in Syrian prisons. Yeah, right. In Montreux, Switzerland, where delegates from Syria and the United Nations met to broker an accord to end the country's civil war, Syrian Foreign Minister Walid al-Mualim refused requests by UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon to curtail a long speech in which he compared the West's arming of Syrian rebels to the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks. "You live in New York," said Mualim. "I live in Syria." Cell phone customers in the vicinity of fighting during demonstrations in Kiev during the government of Viktor Yanukovych received text messages reading, "Dear subscriber, you are registered as a participant in a mass disturbance," and protesters carried through the capital an open casket containing the body of a 25-year-old who died after being shot in the heart by a sniper. Two white doves released over St. Peter's Square by children standing with Pope Francis were attacked by a seagull and a crow. The Parliament of Morocco amended Article 475 of the country's penal code, which had allowed those who committed rape against a minor to avoid prosecution by marrying the victim. Indian police reported that the village council in Sambalpur, West Bengal, had ordered the gang rape of a 20-year-old woman who failed to pay them a $400 fine for her romantic involvement with a man from a different religion. An Indian man filed a suit demanding that his son, who had married outside his caste, pay a royalty of $160 each time he used the family name. And a Hong Kong property tycoon doubled to $120 million the reward he is offering to any man who can marry his daughter, who married her female partner in Paris in 2012. "I don't think my dad's offering of any amount of money," she said, "would be able to attract a man I would find attractive." A Brazilian race car driver on trial for mail fraud in Florida asked the judge to allow as evidence a sex tape he had made with his wife, which he said would prove that their marriage had not been for a green card. In Miami, singer Justin Bieber was stopped for drag racing a yellow Lamborghini while drunk. "I ain't got no bleepin' weapons," Bieber told the officer who arrested him. "Memo to Justin Bieber," tweeted Stephen King. "For the young celeb, life is a banquet of free food. What they don't tell you is that you are often the last course." An 18-year-old Florida high school senior who was expelled for making pornographic videos to assist his mother financially was allowed to return to classes. "I think he's the most awesome person in the world," said his mother. A London design team announced its intention to release an app for Google Glass that would allow users to look at themselves rather than their partners during sex. The Pentagon announced that it would allow soldiers to grow beards for religious reasons. What? And a South Korean plastic surgeon was fined $3,171 for displaying in two custom-built glass towers the jawbones he had removed from patients. In Belgium, where clubbers were getting high on Nintendo, a man named Titus Clarice, whom a judge had fined £1,650 for failure to pay some 100 restaurant tabs over a five-year period, was found dead in his apartment. Curse him? Maybe, said the head of a local restaurant association, but kill him? Oxfam released a report showing that the richest 85 people in the world own as much wealth as the bottom 3.5 billion combined. OccupyWallStreet.org released a sample dialogue provided by Walmart to its store managers in order to help them deal with employee inquiries about labor unions. Well, that's a good question, LaTanya, says a fictional employee in one of the dialogues. Our company doesn't feel that associates should have to spend their hard-earned money to have someone represent them. In Manitowoc, Wisconsin, a 56-year-old newspaper delivery man pedaling a tricycle was struck by a 20-year-old driver and remained stuck in the car's windshield until the driver reached his residence. I turned to him and said, "Hello, how do you do? I'm the guy you hit on the bicycle," said the delivery man. He just continued driving on down the road. This article written by Jesse Barron. I have an answer to the letter that was in last week's letter to the Harper's Weekly Review. A correspondent protested the inclusion in the January 14 Weekly Review of the quote, "He was very cute," about Aizaz Hasan, who died stopping a suicide bomber in Pakistan. I did not think the inclusion of the quote was callous. I thought it was poignant. I thought it provided a humanizing perspective on a big news tragedy. It reminded us that after all, this was just a boy in a normal environment with friends who were kids like anywhere in the world. Keep up the good work. Kurt Meyer, Madison, Wisconsin. And I have one more article here for you. First, you must consider the source. This comes to me from Gawker. And the article is entitled, "Legalize Weed Already." And this is by Hamilton Nolan. The latest poll numbers from NBC and the Wall Street Journal are in. 55% of Americans say they favor allowing regulated businesses to sell marijuana. What's the holdup? This is not even medical marijuana, that familiar canard that we're talking about here. This is a solid 10-point majority of Americans saying for months now they favor legal weed. Weed that is taxed and regulated and sold to adults, just like alcohol is. This is a solid 10-point majority of Americans expressing a desire for sanity in this corner of the war on drugs. This is an acknowledgement of common sense. The details of the poll are predictable. Huge majorities of young people and Democrats favor legal marijuana, along with minorities of older people and Republicans. Still, consider the fact that the two demographic groups most opposed to legalization, people over the age of 65 and Republicans, both register 38% support. The very fact that almost 4 out of 10 old Republicans want America's ridiculous prohibition of weed to end is perhaps the most telling data point of all. The entire debate over medical marijuana was, let's be honest, in essence just a waiting game. It was a way for the rational, common sense, and ethical movement to legalize and regulate weed to wait until the public finally came around to the overwhelming rightness of their position. That time has come. States are legalizing it on their own. Must we wait for every state in the union to take it upon themselves to bring their drug policies into the realm of sanity? or might our esteemed leaders in Washington decide to make themselves useful for a change? The tone of the media has evolved to one of tacit acceptance of weed's relatively harmless nature. The time when a politician admitting to smoking weed was considered a serious political issue seems very long ago. The President of the United States has all but acknowledged that marijuana prohibition is absurd. 32 years ago, John Kerry testified to Congress about the Vietnam War and asked, "How do you ask a man to be the last man to die for a mistake?" Now John Kerry and his peers run the country, and every day Americans are arrested for breaking marijuana laws that were foolish and unjust on the day they were made. It ain't Vietnam, but it is a mistake. The public has made its will clear. Stop twiddling your thumbs, Congress. This is stupid. Legalize it already. And that's the news for today, ladies and gentlemen. And as I always say, please be good to one another in the coming week and stay out of the news.